Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And, excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And reading verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, your Scripture as our absolute, knowing that even your Scripture was the absolute of your vindicated prophet and prophets, and believing, Father, that the words that you have spoken, you said all Scripture is for our good. It is to be used for doctrine and reproof and correction in righteousness. And it is so that we might bring forth good works. And so, Lord, we realize that you have not called us to have a dead religion. You have not called us to have a dead purpose in life. But you've called us to victory. We realize our victory is through Jesus Christ, that once for all sacrifice. But we do believe that if Son of God's seed is in us, then we shall manifest in this flesh Son of God life. And so, Father, we just pray that you'd be with us and help us to better understand the message which your prophet has given to us in this hour, knowing that it's the same message that Paul gave, and yet we see how scrupled it up it became during the 2,000 years between the Alpha and the Omega. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to surrender our minds and our heart, our soul, and our strength to thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this evening, I would like to take another message from the Doctrine of Christ series. I'd like to entitle this The Doctrine of Christ or the Doctrine of Balaam, because we find in the Scripture there's two doctrines spoken of, the Doctrine of Christ and the Doctrine of Balaam. And from who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham, in his prayer, he said, "Dear God, I believe the Scriptures that you have said that you is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as sincerely in my heart, Lord, I know that something's fixing to take place. I cannot strictly identify it. I'm afraid to say anything, Lord. Thou knowest the heart of your servant, and how many times down through the age when you sent things, people failed to get it. Man is constantly praising God for what he did, saying what great things he's doing, but ignoring what he's doing. So has it been through the age. Why did the Roman Church fail to see St. Patrick as God's prophet? Why did they kill Joan of Arc when she was a prophetess, burned her as a witch? Father, it's always past. You hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. No wonder you said to them, priests, you garnish the tombs of the prophets, and you're the ones that put them in there. After they're gone, they see their mistake. They always persecute you, Lord, in whatever form you come in." Now notice he speaks of Jesus' rebuke to the religious people of his day, especially the Pharisees, who were the most advanced and dedicated Jews of his time. And he said, "You guys are always talking about what God did in the past, what God is going to do, and yet when God comes and does it, you are the first ones to reject what God is doing." Well, let's open our Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to study this a little bit. Here in verse 29, we find the scene is Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees. These were the best of the best when it comes to knowing the Old Testament scriptures. These were the creme de la creme, the scholars and most devoted men, and yet look at the rebuke Jesus gives them. And notice, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Now, this word woe is an exclamation of grief. It is a word that is used to express sorrow or dismay. In other words, he's saying, what a pity, or what a pitiful bunch of guys you are. And he calls them hypocrites, because a hypocrite is someone who knows better but will not do because of some personal gain that can be made by not doing and acknowledging the truth. And actually, Brother Branham let us know that a hypocrite in the Bible, in the Greek there, was actually a person who played a part of what they weren't. In other words, they put on something that they weren't. Now, the dictionary definition says the practice of professing beliefs, feelings, or virtues that one does not hold or possess. In other words, it's a falseness. And then Jesus tells them why that they're hypocrites. He says, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and then you say, and this is the key to why he's calling them hypocrites. He says, it's what you say. There is nothing wrong with building the tombs of the prophets, but to do so and then say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you be witnesses unto your own selves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, getting pretty tough here. You generation of vipers, and notice, not just you lineage of serpents, but you lineage of vipers. That's a deadly serpent with venom that kills. And he says, how can you escape the damnation of hell? How can you? You can't. Because it was made for this kind of people. Religious, yet dead wrong, and with words will kill the influence of the truth. Verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets. Notice, I send, this is future tense, I will send to you prophets, plural. And a prophet is a revealer of the word, a wise man. and wise men. Well, a wise man is not a prophet, but these are teachers. And not just someone who claims to be a teacher, but there is a special trait about these men. They are thoughtful and sagacious, which means that they show a keen sense of discernment and possess sound judgment, farsightedness, and are discreet, implying a cautious character. And scribes, men with a gift to write. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wing, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, the killing does not only mean in a physical way. I actually have a letter that was given to my father-in-law from Brother Branham, written in Brother Branham's handwriting, and where Brother Branham said there's more ways to kill a man than with a gun or a knife. He said you can kill a man's influence and you might as well have shot him with a bullet. And from testimony of true witness, Brother Branham said, you can kill a man with more ways than just sticking him with a knife. Speak against his character. Many ways you can do it. And from Hebrews chapter 7, he said, and you people with these saw blade tempers, that's always spouting off in the mouth at somebody, can't put up, and things like that, be careful. You're guilty if you speak a word against your brother that's not right, not just. Go around and tear down, and you don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. You can break his character and kill him, kill his influence. Speak against your pastor here. Say something bad against him. You just as well might have shot him. Told something that wasn't right about him. Well, it'll kill his influence with the people and things like that, and you're guilty of it. So you see, Brother Brown promised to, or God promised to send us men, flesh and blood men. Some were prophets. Some teachers, some scribes. And they would crucify the word afresh by killing the influence of these men, maligning their character and all sorts of things like that. In Matthew 5, verse 11, he says, blessed are you when men shall revile you. So when you get reviled or men start to speak evil of you, thank God for it. As I said years ago, you know, when the Bible says that our trials and persecutions are more precious than gold that perishes. Let me just read it. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And the way I taught this years ago, I said, look, he says great is your reward in heaven the more they persecute you. Now, it's not that you want to ask for persecution, but the fact is when it does come, consider that it's great wealth And so instead of throwing it back, realize that that's gold bullion that they're throwing at you. They're trying to stone you with gold. Well, hold up the shield of faith and let it fall at your feet. And you're accruing treasure in heaven. From harvest time, Brother Brown said, you know, Jesus said, it'll come to pass that they'll even kill you, thinking they're doing God a service. Wait till this new book of mine comes out. They shot at some people the other night for saying that it was wrong to unite the Roman Catholic Church with the Protestants. Three shots went through the building of a friend of mine, just barely missed them. Wait till this book gets into circulation. Don't think that don't think they are sinning. They think that they're doing the right thing. They think they're doing that for the cause of God, not knowing it. The Jews killed Jesus, thinking they were doing the right thing because their church doctrine said he was wrong. Oh, said for them, they crucified the very bread that they were supposed to live by. So you see, always, 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 the doctrine will always declare the difference, and it will always separate between the two. In fact, the doctrine, your doctrine, the doctrine you hold to, will declare exactly who you are. In Luke chapter 11, verse 47, he said, woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and they build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that are entering in you hindered. And as he said those things unto them, the scribes and Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. That's why if you have the courage to put what you believe and teach on the internet in writing, or as Brother Branham did, in books, it's out there for all the critics to find whatever they want to try to slay you with it. But the problem is, if you say what the Scripture says and they do it, they're not fighting you. They're fighting God. You know, there's over 100,000 websites out there. In fact, I think it's close to a million something out. Hits, you know, if you put Brother Ram's name in there, there's multi-millions of hits right now. But I think there's over 100,000 websites where people are dealing with the subject of William Branham. And I'd say the majority of them are calling him a false prophet, calling him a false, anointed, everything else. They're going to have to answer one day for those words that they say. From souls in prison, Brother Branham said he predicted he would send them prophets with the word of the Lord, and what they would do. The same thing their fathers, and what would they do? The same thing that their fathers did, because that's what you are. See, spirits don't die. Men that's possessed of them die, but spirits don't die. He said, your children, you're the ones, just notice how these are. How that St. Paul stood there, you believe he was a prophet, and condemned women that bob their hair and condemned their organizations and announced that every man that wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus Christ must come and be baptized over again. That's right. And today they compromise and sweeten it around. They don't know no different, though. It's pitiful. If the hour is over, I might say this. They were blind and predestinated to be blind. God be merciful. They couldn't see it. Jesus said, you're blind, you blind scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. When you read the same word that all of them has read, and here you come and condemn me. And I'm exactly what the word of God said that it would be in this day. I was to be the messenger of this day. I'm the Messiah. He said in so many words, I'm the Messiah. And have I failed to prove it? If I haven't done what was written of me, then condemn me. And you blind Pharisees lead your people right off into things like that and then send the whole bunch and said, well, the blind leads the blind. You say, oh, if we would have lived back in the time of Paul, yeah, I'd have took sides with St. Paul. You hypocrite, you don't even take sides with his doctrine. You'd have done the same thing then you'd have done the same thing then you've done now. For you're the children of your fathers, your organizational fathers, Pharisees, Sadducees, self-righteous. That's it. I tell you in that hour that we live, I wonder if this could be the third pole. just a minute now, Jesus said, this kind receives greater damnation. See? Well, how I love the way he says it, though. He said, you claim that you had lived, if you had lived in the days of Paul, you would have sided with him. Then he said, you're a hypocrite, because if you would have sided with him back then, you would be siding with him on his doctrine now. But they won't even talk about doctrine. It's too controversial. Of course it's too controversial. That's why God gives it. It's to separate the chaff from the wheat. And so there we are. If you have not the right doctrine, it shows that you have not the right spirit. Now, I know that men will quote Brother Branham from his message, God Had Explained, and they'll say, Brother Branham said, I would rather have the right spirit and the wrong doctrine than have the right doctrine and the wrong spirit. But Brother Branham never said that. He said, I would rather be wrong in my doctrine and right in my heart than to be right in my doctrine and wrong in my heart. He said, see? I said, after all, it's your heart's condition. He never talked about the spirit, because how can you have the wrong spirit? I mean, how can you have the right spirit and have the wrong doctrine? We're given the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God. And Brother Branham said, unless you're born again, you'll never see, you'll never understand the kingdom of God. And I say, the reason why they don't is they're not born again. Because if they had the mind of God, the Spirit of God, they'd know the things of God. And Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man's in him? And what man knoweth the things of God, except the Spirit of God be in him? So how can you know the things of God unless you have the Spirit of God? Because it takes the Spirit of God, the mind of God, the mind of Christ, to understand the things that are given of God. Now, I know that men will quote Brother Branham and say, well, you know, they quote it wrong. Always, they quote it wrong. And like Billy Paul says, they quote it, not quote it. Therefore, if the heart is right, it will not turn down the right doctrine. And how can your heart be right and fight the doctrine of Christ? And the Apostle John said in 2 John 1 verse 9, if you do not have the right doctrine of Christ, you don't even have God. Well, who is God? He's the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost if you've got the wrong doctrine. Now, if you have the Holy Ghost, he'll bring you to the right doctrine. And when the right doctrine comes across your presence, you'll accept it. You won't fight it. But don't tell me that you could be fighting the Holy Ghost and have the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. Paul didn't have the Holy Ghost when he was fighting against it. But when he got the Holy Ghost, he taught it and he got fought against. And if you get the right Holy Ghost, not this other stuff that they call Holy Ghost, if you get God's Holy Spirit, he'll give you his Holy Word. And when you have his Holy Word, you're going to be persecuted for what you have. Therefore, if the heart is right, it will not turn down the right doctrine. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. And a vindicated prophet said, the fruit is the teaching of the season. So a good tree cannot bring forth evil doctrine or evil teaching of the season. So how can you have the right spirit and have the wrong doctrine? You can't. Brother Ram was not speaking of the spirit, he was speaking of the heart. He was talking about a hardened heart versus a soft and supple heart. If you have a right heart with God, you will receive the doctrine of Christ. That is what Malachi 4 is all about, returning the hearts of the children back to the doctrine of the Pentecostal fathers, the apostolic fathers. From service we would see Jesus, Brother Ram said, now we know that he is the same. Now if we come tonight, if we find out, Jesus cannot fail because he was God. He is the Word. The Word and Christ is the same. Then if the Word promises, the Word that is to happen in the last days, the Spirit of Elijah is to return in the last days, that's right, upon the peoples, and he's to turn the heart of the children back to the fathers, the doctrine, the principles of the Bible. So if you're just teaching focus on the family, preaching messages that make the people feel good, you're not teaching what Elijah brought. In fact, when Brother Brown preached the rapture, you can go down the tabernacle. We've got a picture of it on our website. The very first page, he has six pages of notes, double-sided. And the very first page, he says, we are warned by the Holy Spirit at the end time that they will reject the doctrine, or they will turn down the doctrine. Well, now that should be the first thing in our mind then, is to be on guard that we don't turn down the doctrine. From surgery we would see Jesus, and now we find that he is the same. Now, if we come tonight and we find out Jesus cannot fail because he was God, he is the Word and Christ is the same, then if the Word promises, that this is to happen in the last days, the Spirit of Elijah is to return in the last days, upon the people, and return the hearts of the children back to the fathers, the doctrine and the principles of the Bible. That's the whole purpose of Elijah. He didn't come just to do miracles. Look, the Holy Spirit rebuked Brother Branham for making a show. It's not a show. It's to get the people to the Word. It's always been the doctrine. That's what the message is. The message is the doctrine, the teaching. In fact, the word doctrine means teaching. And that is what they reject. And that is the reason they crucify the Word. It's not the part of the Word that says bless and curse not. It's not the part of the Word which deals with relationships. It's not the part of the Word that says thou shalt this and thou shalt not do this. And it's not the part of the Word that speaks of forgiveness and love and the Sermon on the Mount and those things. It's the doctrine that they kill and they try to destroy. And from recognizing your day and its message, Brother Branham said, down in your heart, you feel the Holy Spirit dropping tears. Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how oft would I have hovered you? But what did you do? You killed the prophets that I sent you. You murdered them. And the message has been sent to the churches today has been murdered by their denominational dogmas. The scriptures have been murdered by their dogmas. Amen? That's what he said. From way of a true prophet, Brother Brown said, and another one of them, another one with him stood at a certain place not long ago and said, Brother Branham is a prophet. He can discern things like that, but said, now don't listen to his doctrine because he's not right. Now, can you imagine saying that, you know, hundreds and, you know, thousands of times I've heard Brother Branham give us, thus saith the Lord, it's never failed, but, you know, boy, he sure doesn't know his Bible. How much sense does that make when the word of the Lord comes to the prophet? Yes, they call him a prophet, but deny what he taught. And they are still doing that right in this message, claiming to be following the prophet and denying what he teaches. From Revelation chapter 4, part 3, throne of mercy, Brother Branham says, Stephen stood there and said, I know what I'm talking about, said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost. Like your fathers did, so do you. Said, which one of your fathers hasn't killed the prophets and then build their tombs to them? You denominations, which one of you hasn't done the same thing? See, build big whited castles and morgues and things around here and then call and then talk about God. You're the very ones that put him in the morgue. You're the very one that put him in the tomb. That's the very thing that put him in the tomb back there was a big white castle church. The denominations, Pharisees and Sadducees is what put him in there and then try to build a memorial to it. You talk about hypocrisy. Oh, God sent us a prophet. We believe everything he said. Oh, but don't talk about the doctrine. You know, let's get music programs and let's get some people in here that are really professional musicians so that we can attract the people. But, you know, we don't want to say nothing about what he said because it might, like one preacher said, I don't use Brother Branham's name because I don't want to offend people. Offend people in this message? Why don't you go back to the Baptist church where you belong? If you can't identify with those who teach the truth, what kind of a person are you? What spirit is on you? And how do they resist the Holy Ghost? Because he said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in your heart. You always resist the Holy Ghost. How do they resist the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is Christ. And the word Christ means anointer, anointed, and anointing. So the doctrine of Christ is the doctrine of the anointer with the anointing. And how do they resist him? They come against the doctrine of Christ, which is the doctrine of the anointer anointing his anointing. Notice, which one of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom that you have now the betrayer and murderers. You are now the betrayer and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on his right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran up with him one accord and they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. pretty zealous. Got to give them that credit. Like the Muslims today, they're oneness too, you know. So that oneness spirit is a very hateful spirit. Anybody that speaks contrary to them, oh, they just like to kill them. And because Stephen told it like it really is, they killed him too. In Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of the thorns or figs off of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." And Brother Branham said from the Anointed Ones at the end times, said, "Notice, but it's what they produce that tells you the difference. By their fruit, said Jesus, you shall know them. A man does not gather grapes off of a thistle, even though the thistle be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. What is the fruit? The word fruit for the season. That's what it is. It's their teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time it is? Man's doctrine, denominational doctrine, or God's word for the season. And from Acts 13:40, "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of by the prophets. Behold, you despisers, wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." So who's doing the work? God's doing the work. But who's declaring it? A man is declaring it. God said that he would come down and do a work in our day. He said that the people won't believe it, although he will send a man to declare it to them. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Now, what does the word blasphemy mean? It's hard words spoken to injure. Injurious words. Notice that envy and jealousy was their motive. They saw Paul's ministry and the effect it was having on the people, and they were jealous. Well, if we don't have the same thing today. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing that you put it so far from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief of the men and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast." And Brother Branham said, if you as a church are not receiving persecution, he said, you better check where you're standing. Just the same as it is today. They see the effect of God's complete word is having upon the ministry throughout the world, and they attack it with vengeance. From the Evening Messenger, Brother Ram said, "All these things we see happening then in the nation, science says it's 4 or 5 years ago. It says it's 3 minutes till midnight. Israel's in her homeland. The church is in Laodicea. Oh my, what are we looking for? What's the matter? We're looking for the evening light. Oh, I wonder if it would come, if we'd recognize it. Or would it skip over the top of our heads like it has back in other ages?" They never know it till it's done too far gone. You remember those religious people was the ones who killed the prophets that was sent to them. Jesus said so. He said, "You hypocrites," said, "you garnish the tombs of the prophets and your fathers, put them in there, and then build their tombs." Look at the Roman Catholic Church. Garnish the tomb of St. Patrick, garnishing the tomb of Joan of Arc. They killed the woman and burnt her as a witch because she was spiritual, because she seen visions. They burnt her at the stake as a witch. 200 years later, they dug up the priest's body, threw them into the river to do penance, knowing that she was a servant of Christ. But in the day, they didn't know who she was while the church was passing through. And it'll go right over the top of people and they'll never recognize it. Jesus said they didn't know that he was the Son of God till he was dead and buried and rose again. Didn't Peter indict them on the day of Pentecost? "You men with wicked hands that have taken the Prince of Life and slain him?" Doesn't the scripture say if they had known that they had crucified the Lord of glory, they wouldn't have done it? Well, why don't they know him? Because they don't have a spirit. And so how do they crucify the word afresh? They make excuses to reject it. From is your life worthy of the gospel, Brother Branham said, they made excuses in the days of Moses. They made excuses in the days of Elijah. They made excuses in the days of Christ. They make excuses today. Now, him speaking directly to Israel, the one that was called to the feast, that I would also apply today to men, the church, who has been bidden to come to the feast and won't do it. The spiritual feast of the Lord, and they won't do it. They don't want to do it. They got other things to do. They find excuses. Now, if Israel 2,000 years ago would have accepted the invitation that they were given, they wouldn't be as they are today. 2,000 years ago, Israel turned down the invitation to come to the wedding supper, and they turned it down and went into judgment. But as Jesus said, they stoned and killed the prophets that was sent to them by making excuses. What did America do? She rejected 1956. Brother Brown said he was combing back, saning this country. And he said, I predict they'll reject this year. And if you go and look up the history of church attendance, you find out that 1957, it peaked. And from there on, it's been downhill. Then what happened? Prayer taken out of the schools and all these other things brought in. And now it's just pure humanism. And the most persecuted group in the world today is not homosexuals, is not lesbians, is not any race. It's Christians. The most persecuted today. And yet, supposedly a Christian nation. This is no longer a Christian nation. Now, the excuses they made each day, we find in the days of Jesus that he didn't affiliate with any of them. And they said, when did this man get his learning? What school is he from? Is not this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary? Isn't his brothers Jonas and James and so forth? And isn't his sisters with us? Then where did this man get his authority to do this? See? In other words, he didn't affiliate with them. So they said, he's Beelzebub, he's a Samaritan. He's got a devil and he's mad. He's a man that's got an evil spirit on the line of religion and has drove him crazy. And that's what he's out there like a wild man. Don't pay any attention to him. And we know what happened to Israel and they screamed out. They were sure that the man was wrong until when they condemned him, he said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it's been there ever since. Jesus was trying to tell them that their excuses was what killed the prophets and what killed the righteous that came. They accepted their creeds that man had given them instead of taking the word of God, and by doing so, had made the word of God of none effect. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 7:7? Howbeit in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men? Or maybe that's Mark 7:7. Anyway, now, you either got to say in this that this is God's will and God's desire, or either something else that you can crop up that's better than what this is. Now, you have to take one or the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And you've got to say this is the truth, or that's part of the truth, or it isn't all the truth, or it isn't put together right, or it isn't interpreted right. And the Bible says that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. No one else is supposed to put an interpretation to it. It's written just the way God wants it interpreted. Just what it says, that's what it is. It's supposed to be. Just take it the way that he said, the way that it's wrote down. Now, they accept their creeds. They make God's promises of no effect to them. They bypass that, just skip away from it. Now, those are powerful words, Brother Branham is telling us here. He's telling us, what killed Jesus is all the excuses they made in order to keep their own doctrine and rejected his. And Jesus said in John 7:16, he said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. And I tell you, they are crucifying the word afresh by rejecting the doctrine of the message, which is the doctrine of Christ, and keeping their old oneness or Jesus-only teaching. From souls in prison now, Brother Branham said, now watch here, Matthew 23 and beginning at the 27th verse. Woe unto you, scribes. Now remember, this is holy men he's talking to. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are like unto whited sepulchres, that's dead people, whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness, hypocrisies and envies and strife on the inside of them outside. Well, I'm Dr. So-and-so, see? Even so, you are also outwardly appear righteous unto men. Look at the ecumenical council and the Pentecostal setting there. But within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Well, what's iniquity? Something that you actually know is right and you won't do it. Jesus, now watch what generation he puts this on. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. See, all the prophets. And you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. We would have believed the word of the Lord if we'd have lived back there. Now watch. Wherefore, you hypocrites, be you witnesses unto your own selves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. That's just what's taking place. Now watch what else he says here. You serpents and generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? How can you do it? Now he's talking to ministers. See, that's right. Holy men. How can you stand and know the Bible predicts and tells them people not to do that, and you can stand and compromise for a few lousy stinking dollars? Or some popularity and somebody pat you on the back and call you a doctor? How can you say that you love those people? I'm preaching on the tape too, see? How can you say that you love those people and let things like that take place? You Pharisees, you blind, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? How can a man today that knows that this thing is that these things are wrong and stand there to hold his congregation and make denomination grow and fail to tell women and men? How are you going to escape the wrath of hell when it was made for you? How are you going to do it? See? Now listen here. What is it going to be? Therefore, 34th verse, behold, I will send you prophets. I will in the future. There's your Pharisees coming back against thee. Wise men, scribes, and some of them you shall kill yourselves. Crucify some of them. You shall scourge in the synagogues and persecute them from city to city. It's always been the same thing throughout all the church ages. From Pergamian church age, Brother Barnes says, that's the same thing that's taking place here, the Nicene Council, Nicolaitans, formal Christianity, and the Holy Spirit come back and said, you've got the doctrine of Balaam among you. See? And I hate them deeds of the Nicolaitans, them doctrines that they got, because it's the doctrine of Balaam who taught the children of Israel to stumble. And how did he do it? Well, you know, that's a good question. How did his doctrine affect the people? It got them to all come together. That's Balaamism. They got believers to gather together with unbelievers. That's Balaamism. He got believers to mix it in with make-believers. That's Balaamism. And God hated that sin. God hates Balaamism. And what happened? The young men of Israel got together with the young girls of Moab. Balaamism. Merry girl outside, or boy outside this message. That's Balaamism. Well, let's read the scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Now the word beguiling here is a Greek word which means to lure with a bait. Put something out there to attract unstable souls. And usually it's money. That's your big churches full of unstable souls. Lured in by preaching psychology. Focusing on the family instead of focusing on the Word of God. He said the people are being baited. And why do they do that? Peter gives us the answer when he says that they are covetous. In other words, money, money, money. It's all about money. It's all about territory. It's all about market share. It's all about hogwash. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. Clouds they are, carried about with tempests. As Jude said, clouds without water. Clouds without water. What did God say the water was? He said, my doctrine shall fall as the rain. Clouds. What's a cloud? Paul called them many cloud of witnesses. A cloud is witnesses, but they have no doctrine. Well, bless God, I hunted with the prophet. So what? So did Bert, the guy with the lizard eyes, who wasn't a believer. He hunted with the prophet. Does that make you somebody to follow according to the word of God? Absolutely not. Well, I fished with the prophet. So what? Just means you like to fish. Now, I remember Brother Vail have convention, and all the big guys, you know, they go out shopping with Brother Vail. Well, I couldn't afford to go shopping with Brother Vail. I had a family to raise. Does that make me not spiritual because I couldn't go shopping with Brother Vail? You understand this, what I'm trying to drive at? Brother Branham said, don't we get one another's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit? What's wrong with being an individual? Being led by the Holy Spirit, not by the pack. You know, lambs are not pack animals. Wolves are pack animals. My goodness. For if they had, while they promise them liberty, they say to them, they themselves are servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have accepted the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, a dog will return to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed will return to her wallowing in the mire. Now, let me just say one more thing about that. Because I know in this message a lot of people think that, you know, I'll just say one of the motives. People have motives for hunting and fishing. You know, it's relaxing. You get away from, you know, getting the nature of those things. But Joseph Branham was down in Tucson last winter. And a brother I know met him in a restaurant. And he said, where you been, Brother Joe? And he said, I've been up to the mountain to pray, where Daddy used to go. He said, I'm really concerned, he said, because we've got people working for us. They've spent $10,000 getting ready for an elk hunt. They spend, you know, the thousands of dollars for the whatever costs for the fees and stuff. They buy all the equipment. They take time off work. They put all of this money and effort into an elk hunt. And he said, I wish they'd spend as much time getting ready for the rapture. Now, you can do like Brother Brown, get up 6 o'clock in the morning, get up, be with God. Brother Brown said, I didn't go out to go hunting. He said, you know, that was my excuse. But he said, I went out to meet with the Lord and have prayer. And if God happens to give you squirrels, you get your squirrels. Or if God happens to put fish on you. Look, that's why when I go fishing, I'm pretty much done after I catch the first one. I just say, thank you, Lord. I've had my fish for the day, and I just like to enjoy the nature of it. But anyway... Just don't try to be somebody that you're not. You can't become Brother Branham by hunting and fishing. You can't be Lee Vail by shopping. You know, don't try to be somebody that you're not. Be who you are by the grace of God. In Jude 1 and verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. It's like 8 men stood around at a church not too far from here. Oh, this may be 15 years ago. And they're condemning the parousia. They're talking to Pack and a brother that we know, he happened to be there, and he said, well, what is a parousia? Not one of them knew it, yet they were criticizing it. Condemning it. These speak evil of those things which they know not. If you don't know, just shut up. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily, in other words money, after the error of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, in other words, witnesses with no doctrine, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit, whose teaching withereth, without fruit in fact, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea foaming out their shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's quite an indictment. And that's this hour. From Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain unto you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. So there's two things there. They got the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which puts men over men. And then they have the doctrine of Balaam, which unites people, not by the word, but unites them just to unite. In fact, in the book of Genesis, when they built the Tower of Babel, God looked down and he said, oh my, man has become one. This is not a good thing. And so God came down and confounded them. It's not a good thing. Why? Because they weren't united for the right reason. They were united by men, to men, and not by the Word of God. In Thyatira and Church Age, Brother Brown said, Nicolaitanism and paganism wedded together and formed and gave birth to the first church, organized church. And God said that the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which was in the Ephesians, over in the little church of Pergamos, became a doctrine, and said it was a doctrine of Balaam. And Balaam was the one who taught Israel to go over there and commit fornications, and they committed fornication with Moab, which was a lukewarm church member, or the common church, the great organization. And we find out that God said that Nicolaitan doctrine, which put all the power up in the church and set it aside and make it an organization. He said, you hate it, I hate it too. He just keeps saying, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. And it comes into full swing here. See how the church squeezed out right up here till just a little bitty thing, and that's the church that we're on now. And today the doctrine of Balaam opposes the doctrine of Christ, because the doctrine of Christ establishes a true relationship between God and his seed. But the doctrine of Balaam opens its doors to every seed so long as they pay their tithing and contribute to their programs. Because it's all about the money. They're building kingdoms, but not his kingdom. Notice once again, we see it. It is a doctrine. Always the doctrine. The doctrine of Christ, which hates organization, or the doctrine of Balaam, which loves organization. And they hate God's doctrine, and God hates theirs. Now, which one will you stand with this morning, or this evening? Now, that's the real question we must ask ourselves in our hearts. Where do I stand with God's word? Am I taking a stand for it? And knowing that I'm going to be branded, knowing I'm going to be oppressed, knowing that I'm going to be persecuted? Or do I want to take the easy way? Run with the bigger numbers. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask you, Lord, to help us to take inventory. Help us to know, Father, where do we stand? Do we stand with the Lord's despised few? Or do we stand with the groups, the large groups? We know, Father, that you're not coming for groups. You're coming for individuals. So we pray, Father, that you'd help us to stand. And when we've done all that we can do to stand, help us simply just to stand. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I Know Whom I Have, Believe It. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able, which I have committed unto him against that day. God bless you all.